Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, I'm answering your questions about changes to the baseball, Trey Turner, double switches for some reason. Yeah, so a lot to talk about. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio, although it's just me all week this week. Vince is on vacation. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the locker room and in the press box, so we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So again, please subscribe wherever you're watching or listening, and let's talk about the Dodgers. I put out a call on social media on Monday afternoon, since we didn't have a game going on Monday, knew we wouldn't have a game to talk about tonight. And I always love the questions that you listeners send in. We got some good ones today. So that's today's episode. We've got some really interesting things to talk about. So let's start with, let's start with Trey Turner. That I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about Trey Turner and what his future with the Dodgers is. And our buddy Doug Reynolds kind of puts it into words pretty well. He's at CRCL805 on Twitter. He asks, what's the max price slash years you think the Dodgers should offer Trey? And if they don't re-sign or extend him, what do you feel is the best solution for shortstop for next year and beyond? I really like Trey, but I'm afraid to fall in love with him in case he signs elsewhere and breaks my heart. And I totally get that. We've all kind of fallen in love with Trey Turner in a lot of ways. And we always knew he was good. I remember the Dodgers facing the Nationals in the postseason a few times. And Trey Turner was just a pest, you know. Like, he felt like if he gets on base, he's going to end up on third because he's so fast. He's going to steal base. He's going to do whatever. Just a pest. And he's only gotten better since then. And so I've been looking at his career numbers. You know, this is his eighth season. And he's currently on Baseball Reference at 24.9 WAR. Which actually surprisingly interesting. He's only a 0.1 this year. He actually has a negative defensive WAR, which means compared to other shortstops, he's actually a little below average, at least according to Baseball Reference. We've seen pretty good play from him at shortstop, but obviously he can hit and, he's having kind of a down year even offensively right now. His OPS plus is 101, meaning he's 1% above league average. Now that's league average for everyone. And so getting anything above average from a shortstop is valuable, but obviously, he's had last year, he was 147, the year before that 162. So we expect, a little bit more. But really when you look at his career, his rookie year in 2016, like half a year, he was great. Had a 142 OPS plus, 13 homers, 33 stolen bases, and only 324 plate appearances. Only 73 games, and he stole 33 bases. Good enough to finish second in the Rookie of the Year voting, even though he only played half a season. And then he kind of struggled a little bit offensively, but was always very good defensively. And they did try him out in center field a little bit his rookie year, but he's basically been a shortstop the rest of his career, other than those couple months with the Dodgers last year. And, but these last couple of years, 2020 and 2021, kind of set the standard of what we're expecting from him offensively. And he's really, really good when he's on. And so, combine that with the defense, with the speed, everything. He's young. He's only 28. He'll be 29 in June. So not crazy young. And a lot of times age is kind of the main factor in a question like this of, how much time do you want to give him? He's going to be a couple years older than Corey Seager was, a couple years older than Carlos Correa was, both when they went to free agency this year. And so I don't think we're going to see any sort of crazy deal like we saw for Seager and, like Correa was originally looking for. especially because Correa might be on the market again after this year too. He has opt-outs in his contract with the Twins. I don't know that anybody expects him to stay the whole 3 years with the Twins. So there might be some competition. Xander Bogaerts is going to be a free agent. A lot of different options. But for Trey Turner, I love the idea of the Dodgers re-signing him. You know, one of our listeners commented on YouTube on yesterday's episode when I talked about Trevor Bauer. Norman O'Brien said, I was thinking the Dodgers might be waiting until the Bauer decision was made, and then their first priority would be to extend the Trey Turner contract. Do you have information on this? And I don't. But, you know, I can see how the Trevor Bauer thing and Trey Turner could be connected. I don't know for sure. And unfortunately, it's still not a done deal because the appeal process still has to happen. And we don't really have any idea how long that's going to take. I assume it won't be a long process because I assume, you know, they'll want to get it done. I think both sides will want to get it done. And so hopefully we'll know sooner than later how much of Bauer's remaining contract, if any, they are on the hook for. It feels kind of gross to think about the Bauer situation in terms of baseball and salaries and all that, but that's kind of something the Dodgers do have to think about. So they might be waiting until that's all resolved. But you know, they're the Dodgers. They have the money, and yeah, they want to stay under the luxury tax if they can, blah, 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 at least under one of the levels. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers, what we've seen the last several years is, honestly, and I get pushback when I say this sometimes, but money has never kept the Dodgers from signing anybody. It's always been length of the contract, not the dollars. Zach Greinke signed with the D-backs because they offered him a longer contract. And guess what? The Dodgers were right. By the end of that contract, Greinke signed with the D-backs. That just ended last year. Greinke was throwing 34 miles an hour by the time that contract was done. The Dodgers were absolutely right about Zach Greinke. You know, they didn't necessarily foresee that he would manage to still be an effective pitcher despite having no fastball left. But they definitely were correct in predicting that he wouldn't age well. You know, the Corey Seager contract, the Dodgers weren't going to give Corey 10 years. And it took the Rangers overpaying on years to get Corey Seager. And I think we all agree the Rangers are likely to regret that contract sooner than later. Sooner than later, but definitely long before the end of the contract. And so the Dodgers aren't going to get outbid on money, but, you know, years is always a thing. And Trey Turner right now in his career, he has made $46 million basically, counting this year. And, you know, it's plenty of money for sure, but a guy of his caliber, he will be looking for a big contract. The question will be if the Dodgers can offer him, hey, we want you for 4 years at $40 million a year. Is that enough for him? You know, it's a super high salary, but it's, you know, it's not the length. And when you are 29 years old going into free agency, sometimes you'd like to get, it's basically your one shot at a big free agency. And so Trey might be looking for a 7-year contract. I don't see the Dodgers giving Trey a 7-year contract, but if they could go shorter years, bigger money, he might go for it, you know, and this is where it comes down to what a player is looking for in his legacy and everything. You know, the players have a responsibility to their fellow union members to get as much as possible, but there's different ways to define as much as possible. And getting $40 million a year is definitely one way of saying, yeah, I did the best for my union brothers because the price of a good shortstop just went up. And so if he is content saying, you know what, $200 million in earnings for my career, I can live on that, then maybe they can do that. So I don't know, but that's kind of what I expect the Dodgers' approach to be. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm actually going to finish the other half of Doug's question, which is, if Trey's not here, what will the Dodgers' approach be to shortstop next year? And we kind of have a related question that we'll kind of talk about that. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. With spring in the air, it's a time of renewal and growth, personally and professionally. As your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hiring frame, hashtag hiring frame, to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, I am back. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Excuse me. So, Doug Reynolds had his question about Trey Turner, and part of his question was, what's the Dodgers solution for shortstop next year and beyond if they don't re-sign Trey Turner? And we also had another question. Where is it? Chris Lopez at CHR Lopez 1021 on Twitter. He asked, with Bauer basically out, Bellinger iffy, and Trey a free agent this year, and Clayton Kershaw on a one-year deal, do you think they go heavy in free agency again next year? Correa is not going to stay in Minnesota. Let's be serious. So, you know, kind of those two questions are kind of related, because if the Dodgers don't re-sign Trey Turner, what do they do about shortstop? Now, they have Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux is a shortstop. He's played second base in the major leagues because the Dodgers have had Corey Seager and now Trey Turner. But Gavin Lux is a shortstop. We saw him play a little bit of shortstop last year. I believe that Gavin Lux could be a good shortstop. Throwing is a question mark with him. But he definitely has the arm strength. And so I think over time, I think he would be a good shortstop. I definitely think he's going to hit. But I got to admit, I've kind of fallen in love with this Trey Turner and Gavin Lux middle infield combination. I think they work well together. And I think Gavin could turn into an excellent second baseman too. So I think Trey Turner is my first choice. But if they don't, I think if they don't re-sign Trey Turner, they probably go with Gavin Lux as the shortstop, at least in the short term, give it a chance to work. I just don't see them going after Carlos Correa. There's so much baggage there. And I think we saw, it's not just the Dodgers. I think Carlos Correa's market was a lot different than he expected it to be because of his personal baggage with related to playing for the Southeast Texas Cheating Cheaters. And so I don't think that will have changed a ton by next year. And so Correa is probably not on the table. And none of the other guys excite me a lot. Xander Bogaerts definitely has defensive issues that I'm not excited about. He doesn't excite me as a player. They've got some guys in the minors, but not really, I think Gavin Lux is probably the shortstop going forward. Now, as far as other free agency and the, Chris's question, the Dodgers, I think they're going to be active in the free agent market every year, whether that means signing guys or at least exploring things. I don't necessarily expect them to sign Freddie Freeman or, obviously not actually Freddie Freeman because he won't be a free agent again, but they're not going to sign a Freddie Freeman type player every year, but they're going to be active and they're going to be in on any player who can make their team better. So that's going to be the Dodgers approach, like it always is. Moving on to our next question. I like this question a lot. What smells like blue is the Twitter name. The Twitter handle is at Bronger, B-R-O-N-G-E-R 7. He asked, do you miss double switches and pinch hitting? I kind of do. I don't miss seeing pitchers hit, but I feel like guys like Rios aren't getting as many at-bats to stay fresh as they should. Do I miss double switches and pinch hitting? I don't miss double switches. One of my issues with double switches was it was always you were making a decision that, how do I put this? It was a decision between, okay, in which way do I make my team worse right now? Do I let my pitcher who is fading stay in the game? Or do I take him out and take out another guy who I chose to be in the starting lineup and replace him with a guy who I didn't choose to be in the starting lineup? Now, it's not always the case that your starting lineup is your best players and your bench players are lesser, but most of the time it is, especially with the Dodgers this year. Their best players are generally in the starting lineup. And so you don't, you know, I don't like double switches because it's like, hey, should we bring in, you know, Joey Bag of Donuts to replace MVP Carl because we need to change the pitcher? And you know, so no, I don't miss that. Pinch hitting, I guess maybe. I've always said I would love for MLB to institute a limit on the number of pitchers on the active roster. I would love to see 10. I'd be happy with 11. They've gotten down to 13. I think that'll help because once they go down to 13 later this month, 13 pitchers, 13 position players, that means four bench players, you know, the backup catcher and three others. And so that does give you a little bit more pinch hitting opportunity. Basically, what I would like if they went to 11 and 15 position players is then you've got your backup catcher and five other pinch hitters. And so you can start in the sixth or seventh inning saying, you know what, we are getting the platoon advantage all the time now. Every reliever you bring in, we're going to counter it with a pinch hitter. And, you know, that would help offense. That would give guys like Rios more at bats, you know. This current Dodgers team, I don't know how much of it has to do with the universal DH because they don't have a ton of guys. They did pinch hit for Gavin Lux one time with Hanser Alberto against a left-handed pitcher, but we've also seen Lux play against plenty of left-handed pitchers and have some success. And so I don't think the Dodgers would be pinch hitting that much that often except for the pitcher. And so the only real way to get pinch hitting is to have the pitcher in the lineup. And, you know, when you think about it that way, you know, it's, do I miss having a guy hit instead of the pitcher? Because now we have a guy always hitting instead of the pitcher. No, I'm just glad we have a guy hitting instead of the pitcher. I think that it is an issue for Edwin Rios and his development that he's not getting at bats. But I don't think this current iteration actually has that much to do with the DH, because yeah, he would get one pinch hitting at bat a game, but I don't know that, and really it wouldn't even necessarily be one every game because they might have a left-handed pitcher and then it would be Hanser Alberto. So we're talking, you know, an at bat every two games. Is that really that much better than a start every five or six games? I don't know. So, you know, I get the question and I understand the sentiment, but you know, I always used to hear people say that there was so much more strategy in the National League because the pitcher hit. So you have to think about things like double switches and stuff. And like I said, all that stuff, I feel like the strategy was, how do I make the game worse? Do I take out my starting pitcher who's dealing because his spot in the lineup came up and it's a close game? You know, I want to see guys do what they're good at. I want to see pitchers pitch and I want to see hitters hit. And so overall, I'm happy with it. And, I don't think the game is perfect right now. And, you know, some of the changes I have in mind would create more pinch hitting, but I don't necessarily care about pinch hitting just for pinch hitting's sake. Let's do another commercial break. This one's a good one. You want to stick around for this one. I have a real life example of how one of our advertisers can help your life. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. Guess what? This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. I love Rock Auto. I told you guys last week about, we got my grandmother-in-law's car. She's 93 years old. I finally talked her into not driving anymore. I feel like that's a success that I, you know, when she dies, it won't be because she crashed her car and she won't take anybody with her. So I'm very happy about that. And my son, he just turned 15, but she thought, well, let's keep the car in the family. So she gave the car to us to be his car. And shortly after she gave it to us, the door handle on the interior door handle on the driver's side door, it broke. My wife was trying to get out of the car. I literally got a call from my wife. She's like, can you come out to the driveway? I can't get out of the car. And so I had to go out and open the door for my wife. Actually, by the time I got out there, she had figured out, roll down the window and open it from the outside door handle. But the point is, the interior door handle didn't work. And so I hopped on YouTube and I thought, okay, this seems like maybe something I can fix. I'm not super handy, but I might be able to do this. Found a video. Turns out it's actually a pretty common problem on our particular brand and year of car. And found a great video that walked through replacing it. A few screws, you know, a couple bolts. And I'm like, I could do that. And in fact, I thought this will be good for my 15-year-old son to help me do this so that he can start learning that it is more cost effective to do your own car maintenance when you can. So I went to Rock Auto because I know that Rock Auto has the best prices. And I went and I found the part that I needed. It was easy to find. I just put in the make and model and year of my car. And actually then I put in their search box door handle and it popped up all the things that had door handle in the description, found the door handle, easy to find. It was $8.16. And I thought, you know what? That sounds like a good deal. So I bought it. I bought it. It got delivered. And my son and I went out 3 days ago over the weekend and we popped off the door panel, unscrewed the old broken door handle, put on the new one, put it back on. 10, 15 minutes. We were done. For $8.16. And just now before I started recording, I thought, I wonder how that much that would have cost if I had gone down to my local auto parts store. So I hopped on their website and I looked and guess what? $49.99. Did I mention I paid $8.16? It's a racket they're running over at the auto parts store. So don't go to the auto parts store. Go to Rock Auto. This was a real life story. This really happened to me. I am not special. I'm kind of special. My mom thinks so, but I'm not any more special than you. Your mom thinks you're special too. So when you need an auto part, go to rockauto.com, put in your make and model, see all the parts available for your car or truck. And if you buy something, write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box? So they will know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Maybe later after this one, check out Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. I'm sorry that ad break went a little bit long. I'm pretty passionate about Rock Auto because they saved me a lot of money, and I appreciate when companies do that. So let's jump back into our last few questions. Let's go with our buddy Brandon Johnson at BrandonJohn442. He asks, with the new baseball appearing to be pretty different, do you foresee many players starting to make purposeful choices to change their swing / launch angle? I think my answer is no, and for two reasons. One, I don't think we can trust the powers that be, and by the powers that be, I mean Robert J. Manfred, to keep the ball the way it is. I think there's been so much uproar about the ball changing. The ball has changed at least once a year, every year for 5 years now. So I don't think we can count on the ball staying the way it is right now. So I don't know that hitters will very quickly make overarching change unless we see this ball for 2 or 3 years. The other reason is I don't know that many players have their launch angle calibrated for home runs. Now, you know, obviously, guys are swinging harder, are not as upset about striking out because they know a home run makes up for a lot of strikeouts, basically. If you can strike out or if you can hit 40 home runs and strike out 200 times a year, that's a trade that pretty much every hitter would take. But, you know, I think about a guy like Chris Taylor, who revamped his entire swing, changed his entire approach and everything as a hitter, but he's still not necessarily swinging for the fences. The optimal launch angle is, you know, it's a hard line drive, you know, and maybe a little bit of loft under it because, you know, you will run into it and hit it out once in a while. But, you know, the optimal launch angle is anywhere from 15 to 28-ish degrees probably. And there's a pretty wide variety there. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe make some tweaks to say, okay, let's focus more on the more like the 15-degree side of that range instead of closer to 28-degree. But you know, really baseball has always been about hitting hard line drives. It's just different wording. We now say exit velocity and launch angle when they used to say hit a hard line drive, you know, I don't think ground balls are suddenly going to become in vogue, even if / when baseball bans the shift, you know, ground balls will be a little bit better, but they're still, you know, ground balls, a lot of ground balls turn into outs. And so I still think the best strategy in hitting will always be hit a hard line drive. And the one difference I could see them making would be maybe don't sell out for swinging as hard so far, because, you know, if you're hitting the ball at a 20 degree launch angle, you know, there's not a ton of difference between a 93 mile an hour exit velocity and a 98. There are definitely some difference, but, you know, they might start to make some adjustments. Okay, I can make a little bit more contact if I don't sell out quite so much to swing so hard. And so maybe we start to see guys make more contact a little bit. But I think that's a longer evolution of the swing than just guys deciding, okay, I'm going to make more contact. If anything, we saw Joey Votto last year actually went the opposite way. He decided, I'm tired of being a contact hitter, I'm going to be a power hitter. And then he hit a bunch of home runs. Now, this year, he has zero, one maybe. He's been really bad. So the ball is definitely affecting him, and maybe the fact that he's 38 or whatever he is. So I don't know, Brandon, I don't expect huge changes to approach. And those are the reasons I really do think the ball is going to change again, maybe even during the season this year. It's a weird thing, and it's kind of frustrating that we don't know what the commissioner, we don't trust the commissioner enough to do the right thing, to really believe anything he says or trust him to do anything. So that's my thoughts on that. Two more quick questions. One, we already covered this a little bit last week, and so I'm only going to read it because I have some quick thoughts. Gorilla Golf at Gorilla Golf 1987 asks, how long will the Dodgers keep playing Justin Turner? I know he's a Dodger great, but man, the bat has looked like a liability. Honestly, the last several games, I feel like Turner's been hitting the ball harder. He did hit his first home run. He's been making a little bit better contact, and, you know, both quantity and quality of contact. And so I think he might be starting to break out of it. And I said last week when we talked about him, I really don't think he's totally cooked. But yeah, you know, it's something the Dodgers definitely have to have on their radar at least. And, you know, if he doesn't really snap out of it, then yeah, they'll have to think about, okay, do we think Miguel Vargas is ready? Even though defensively he might not be a great third baseman, but he could hit. Do we just want to go with Max Muncy at third base and, you know, call up Vargas to be a DH, or let Edwin Rios be the DH, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, they may have to make that decision. But knowing that Justin Turner is always a slow starter, and seeing that there's been some signs of him waking up the last week or so, I think there's still plenty of time. And I think they are going to give him plenty of time because they have this star-studded lineup around him they can afford to, and because of who he is. And then Doom underscore Sal at msalas24, he asked, after signing Freddie Freeman, were the Dodgers too high? Were the expectations too high for the Dodgers? Did a shortened spring training hurt the Dodgers hitting? I don't know about expectations being too high. I don't think the Dodgers themselves came into this season feeling like we've already won this. We have the best team on paper, and therefore we don't have to do anything. I don't think there's anybody on this Dodgers team who is, I think there are some major leaguers who are prone to that kind of thinking. I don't think there's very many. I think those kind of people most of the time don't make it to the big leagues anyway. They are different than us in many ways, and that's one of them. But I definitely don't think there's any or many, if any, of those guys on the Dodgers. And so I don't think they came in overconfident. And I don't think the overconfidence of fans has any impact on the team. So expectations should be high for a team that's this good on paper. And, you know, the Dodgers are in first place. The Dodgers have the best run differential in baseball. They're only ninth in baseball in runs scored, but they're eight runs behind the team that's first. And so, actually, that was before Tuesday's games. And so, you know, but even that, it's like not every team has played the same number of games. So, you know, the Dodgers are hitting well. They're not hitting the way they could. And we know there's several guys who haven't really got it going. But for me, that's more of a good thing than anything. That they are leading the majors in run differential and in the top half in runs scored, despite the fact that, you know, half their lineup isn't really on track yet. And so I feel like, you know, the other half of this question, did a shortened spring training hurt the Dodgers hitting? It might have. You know, maybe there are some guys. Mookie Betts was always a guy who would talk about he needed a bunch of swings in spring training. And, you know, maybe he, what we saw the first couple of weeks of the season was him finishing up his spring training. And now he's definitely been hitting the ball better lately. And that's really good. So yeah, we might see as May rolls along, turns into June. I think we're going to see this lineup turn it on. I don't think they'll all get hot all at the same time very often, but I think enough of them will get hot that they will end up near the top of the league in runs scored by the end of the year. They're going to, you know, and their pitching is great. So I think they're going to be just fine. And so I don't think it's about expectations. And yeah, I do think the shortened spring training probably impacted them like it did most teams. So that is it. Thank you all for the questions. I really appreciate them. On a day like this with no game, it's always fun to interact with you guys, get questions from you, talk about the things that I know are on your minds. So thank you for that. The Dodgers start their two-game series with the Giants today. Should be a fun one. I'm excited to talk with you about that tomorrow on tomorrow's episode. So thank you for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. You can, if you're not watching or listening every day, or, you know, go ahead add one or two days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers like you do, please tell them about the show. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Wow, I struggled with that. I should know. It's the name of the podcast. It's also our Twitter handle and our Instagram handle. You can follow Vince on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.